This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's Carson Anderson program on a Thursday on 97.1 The Ticket. Good morning, everybody. Hope you survived the commute in, as it was some overnight snow that slowed things down. Not too bad for me, actually. In fact, I credit to those out there that are, at least on my commute. I know not everybody has the same experience, but my commute, roads are pretty good. So thank you to those out there in the road commission and the county workers and those that drive the plows for getting it done. It was funny because, well, I'll get to that story in a minute, but how was your drive-in?
It was fine. I did take a little bit of a different route just to make sure, but it was fine. Made it here easily. The roads were in pretty good shape. So that was good. Even my neighborhood was surprisingly good. Actually, they had gotten the plows on the street.
Kang, your drive-in?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Telegraph, I don't think it was plowed, but I think enough cars had driven over and the snow had stopped early enough where it wasn't, you know.
All good?
Yeah. So, I mean, a little slower, but as long as you pace yourselves, you'll be in fine. And then less cars on the road, too. I think people are working from home, schools are called off, all that plays a factor.
Yeah. So, the debate we have, when's the best time to do this? Are you in the stay up late and shovel before you go to bed category, or are you get up maybe a half hour, 45 minutes early, and shovel in the morning category?
So this is a debate I had all last night. I told myself that I'm just going to stay up as late as possible and do this at night, because in the morning I'll be so tired, I'm not going to want to wake up earlier and do it, and I'll do it at night. I'll do it at night. I laid there in bed and said, I'll do it in the morning. I changed my mind. I rerouted, because then I was like, well, has it stopped yet? Do I keep waiting a little bit more? And that, to be honest with you, I looked around my neighborhood and I said, no one else is doing it right now. If I had seen one other person on my street shoveling, I probably would have went out. But I was like, well, I don't want to be the guy out there in the middle of the night.
I am typically the do it first thing in the morning guy.
You're a morning guy.
Yeah, I'm a morning guy. I do you have a system, by the way?
To how to shovel my driveway? Absolutely. It's like brushing my teeth.
So I start with just taking the shovel and pushing it right down the middle of the driveway where it loads up with snow and it spills over to the side. But now I've got a spine.
Yes.
And then I work out from the spine to the sides.
Okay.
And so that's my system. And here's the thing. At the beginning of the winter, it is pristine. The snow is pushed right up to the edge of the grass. And I mean, it feels like I'm getting every damn flake of snow. You get into March, it might be two tracks. The art form is lessened by the time I get there. But today,
you actually might be actually getting it on the grass. I'm going to go 3 feet onto the grass, really clear it out.
What in March?
No, early. No, early.
Well, early. Oh yeah, early.
You're not just up to the grass, but beyond the grass.
Oh, never once. But yes, I'm very. I get after it without a doubt when it comes to the beginning of the winter. By the end of the winter, it's a sloppy mess. Here's one track for the sidewalk, you know, that kind of thing. But this morning, I got up, I did the spine, and I'm at the front end of the driveway. And I'm like, I'm not going to do the whole driveway because I don't have time. I got to get into work. It's 6:30 in the morning. And so I'm right next to the road, and I push the shovel all the way to the south side of the driveway. And I'm looking south, and coming north, I see a truck. And I turn, and I go to the north end of the driveway. And then I hear the truck and I turn and I look and it's the plow. And I've cleaned off the front of my driveway and here comes the plow driving north on my street. And I'm like, Oh, no.
There you go.
And all sure enough, right then and there, it all got poured right back onto what I just shoveled. Now, this wasn't the plow driver's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. This is the realities of it. They leave you that, the snow wake that, in you know, basically can, you know, barricade you into your own driveway. So then I had to work through that. And I ended up going, all right, sidewalk and basically two tracks to back my car out. And my 17-year-old is going to finish it when he gets out of bed, which I guess he is. But did you do the whole thing this morning?
Oh, yeah. I did everything. I don't have a 17-year-old. I mean, I honestly wouldn't have even done the sidewalk if I were you, but, you know, that's your household. I would have been like, you're getting up and you're doing everything. I didn't do that, includes the sidewalk. But, yeah, to me, you know how you said, like, by March, you don't care anymore? Like, it's sloppy?
Yep.
For me, it's more just the end of the shoveling of that day gets sloppy. I've said this before. The end of my driveway is like the championship rounds of a fight. Like, I am battered. I am bruised. I'm just trying to make it out alive at this point. And then you mentioned the snowplow trucks that come through the neighborhoods. And that snow they push onto your driveway, it's like more packed snow, too. It's heavier than the one that you started shoveling when you start, you know, in the beginning.
It sucks. I don't know what really can be done about it.
Nothing. It's just fine. I'm not mad at those guys either. No. Just they're doing their job. They're clearing the streets. But it's...
It is one of, when you live in Michigan, it is one of the great, small, depressing moments in being a Michigander, is I've cleared the side of the driveway, or I'm almost done, and here comes the plow, and you're like, no. Right. Here comes the snow barricade. I'm stuck.
Do you ever look at them and go, come on, man, cut me a break here. Like, you see me out there. Do you use a snowblower or a shovel?
Shovel.
Me too. So I even think like, dude, I'm using a shovel out here, man. Help a brother out.
What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to like stand there and protect our clean driveway?
Yeah,
like,
protest.
You're going to either drive around me or hit me, but you're not going to barricade me with your...
That guy's going to have two reactions. He's either going to be indignant about it and just, I don't care, dude, and just keep going and literally plow right through.
Yep.
And maybe even wave a middle finger at you if you're going to stare him down. Like, dude, this is what I'm doing. Or he's going to be sheepish and like, dude, I'm so sorry. I have to.
Yep.
I got to clear the street. I'm sorry.
And
I'm
I think we all know. We all know. It's their job. And
I think it takes a while before you know.
It's for the communal good.
There's some years in there when you're shoveling snow for a while and this happens and you're pissed at the guy. Yep. And then it takes a while before you're like, all right, I understand.
But Doug, you ever do such a good job with your driveway, you stand back and you're like, damn, that looks good.
Yep.
Right? It's like cutting the grass. Right, like, you're like, oh, man. I did it. One time I went and got my wife. I go, you got to get out here. You get look done at with this.
It. Come maybe, take a look at this.
Now you take out like a push broom, too, the little straggler of the snow. Oh, dude, I don't need a shovel. Yep. I need to broom this out.
You better
now.
Give all the snow on my driveway the last rites because you're gone, baby.
But I get to salt. I salted as well, too, Doug. So, I mean, I did the whole nine. I
did not
the sidewalk,
salt this morning. But it wasn't particularly slippery, so I felt safe doing that.
Well, make the kid do it.
Well, yeah, and that's a possibility. Also, the kid will be shoveling Grandma and Grandpa's driveway.
You're damn right.
Which is a little bit more challenging.
Well,
it is a steep driveway.
It's challenging.
That was my job when I was a kid, so you're up, buddy.
Does gravity help at all with that?
No.
Oh, because it's steep.
No, it can help slide a car completely down that driveway.
Right, but not the snow doesn't do the same thing.
Anyway, all set. All right, so the big news. The Tigers do not get Alex Bregman. What best describes your personal feelings when you heard that news? What best describes your personal feelings when you heard the news that Alex Bregman was signing with the Boston Red Sox? We will get to that today at 10:16. Go over the details, talk about options, what might have gone wrong, did it go wrong, all that. Straight ahead here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, March is almost here, and college basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season. And right now, new customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $150 to bet on everything from conference clashes to tournament upsets, even who's cutting down the nets. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's no better time. And that $150 in bonus bets, the workaround is to go find a heavy favorite, bet your $5 on them just to win outright, not cover a spread, just to win outright. And then you get your $150 in bonus bets to play with. Just go to FanDuel.com/971Detroit to get in on the hoops action before March takes over. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Hart, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. So Tigers don't get Alex Bregman. Third baseman signs with the Boston Red Sox. Does it leave a gaping hole with the Tigers? It doesn't leave a gaping hole. Would it have been an upgrade short term? I think it's pretty safe to say that it would have. The deal, a three-year, $120 million deal, $40 million per year, although there's some deferred money in there. There's an opt-out after the first and second years of this contract where Bregman can choose to hit the free agent market again. It's being reported by multiple outlets that Detroit's offer was 6 years at $171.5 million. So longer term, less annually, $28.58 million, with one opt-out after 2 years. He would play under the contract for 25 and 26, and he could opt out and hit free agency again if he so chose. The other bidder was Chicago, 4 years, $120 million. So they were at $30 million a year with two opt-outs after year two and year three. If you look at this, and Boston offered the most annually, Detroit offered the longest term, Chicago was right in the middle. What best describes your feelings when you heard the news?
I feel like I've gone through the stages of grief quickly on this one. I think initially it was disappointment. Yeah, I saw because the first number you see is the 3 years and 120. And with the opt-outs after each of the first 2 years, I mean, that was pretty well reported right away. So the $40 million a year, I was like, okay, you can't compete with that. I'm sorry. I know that even if they announced to everybody he'll take a shorter-term deal, it would have made less sense for him to want to come to Detroit on a shorter-term deal because you're going to want to put up the best numbers you can. And that's in Boston. You can do that in Boston because he's got a track record of doing it at Fenway Park and playing against the Red Sox there that he's done well.
And it is an easier park to hit in.
It is.
At least for power.
Yeah, well, for doubles, for sure. For home runs, there's not a big difference between home runs. There is a difference. It's a slight difference. But for doubles, it's a massive difference. And when you're a right-handed hitter and you could just spank it off that wall and get two bases, I mean, that's appealing for sure. And his OPS in his career at Fenway bears that out. So that makes sense because for him, he can go out and have one ball a year there with great numbers. Maybe even he does two if he's smart. If I were him, I'd do two and then hit free agency after putting up back-to-back pretty good years where you're likely to have an OPS north of 850. And if you don't, then you're on the downside of your career and you're done anyway. And then he can stay in for the contract. But if he does well, then after a couple of years, he's earned $80 million and he can hit the free agent market with numbers that he's just produced and people will be all gaga about it again. He can sign a four-year, $120 million contract, get $30 million a year. And in the end, Scott Boras looks brilliant for getting him this contract and getting him the next contract. But from a Tigers perspective, I was disappointed right away because I wanted Alex Bregman. I thought he was a really good fit with this team. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say the ballpark is punitive. And in some ways it is, and in some ways it isn't. I think the reality is when you look at numbers at Comerica Park if you look at the Tigers numbers, as a team, the team OPS was actually better at home than it was on the road last year. They hit two less home runs at Comerica Park than they did on the road. What that tells me is the Tigers don't have that type of hitter. So it's not so much the ballpark, it's the type of hitters you're bringing into the ballpark. Would Bregman have flourished here? I think he would have been fine here. I'm not saying he would have hit 30 home runs or go back to his days where he hit 40 by any means. But I think it was quite possible he could still hit north of 20 home runs with the Tigers and he would have been fine. But I thought because the Tigers made a really good offer, I applaud Scott Harris for making the offer, Chris Illich for greenlighting the offer of $170+ million for 6 years. That's a big time commitment. And he chose to go elsewhere. That's fine. You know, wipe your hands clean. We got plan B, whatever that is. If it's move on to try to trade for Nolan Arenado, although I'm not as big on that, or if it's go with what you got and see what happens by the trade deadline. You know, maybe Chase Young figures things out to hit at the major league level, and he and Matt Vierling can do a fine job at third base. We'll see. And if they can't, then they're going to have to go shopping by the trade deadline.
All right, so circling back to the question, you were disappointed when you heard the news. I was relieved. I was relieved, and that trumped disappointment for me. Because to me, Alex Bregman was the baseball equivalent of, this is going to be a weird analogy, but it applies and I think it helps. He was like somebody shooting up steroids. Short term, yeah, you look bigger and stronger. Long term, not good for you. And that's what it felt to me like the Alex Bregman contract was. So when Alex Bregman said no to a six-year offer from Detroit, I was relieved because that was, I don't know how many years it was going to be. It felt like there was a high probability that there were going to be bad years on that contract where, like, if it's 4 years, if he's really good here for 2 years, that's great. But the last 4 years, you'd be spending over $100 million on a player that wasn't particularly good. Maybe it wouldn't have been 4 years. Maybe it had been 3 years, in which case you'd be spending over $75 million on a player that wasn't particularly good. I was never a fan of the six-year contract, understanding he made them better at third base immediately. So I was more relieved, and it was part that, and it was part we don't have to do the stupid Bregman watch thing every single day and talk about it because people wanted to know. And there was really not much hard news out there. It was a waiting game. And quite frankly, it was getting uncomfortable. And I didn't want to even, I mean, part of me thought, he's notorious for slow starts. If he comes to Detroit and has a six-year contract after waiting this long and alienating some people, which he had every right to wait as long as he did, but there's no question it alienated some people. I thought this had a better chance to be an uncomfortable beginning and maybe an uncomfortable time that he would have to play his way out of, which he might have been able to do. I mean, he might, but he is not known for fast starts. And so I guess my overwhelming, what won out was relief that he wasn't coming to Detroit. 248-539-9797. There's a lot to discuss, obviously, that we will get to coming up on this, like now what? But let's get to your phone calls. We got a Stan in Shelby Township. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Stan.
Hey, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm with you. I'm with you that I believe it's in our best interest not to have signed Bregman. I'm not a fan of long-term guaranteed contracts. But I think the bigger story is threefold. Scott Harris is new to his critics because in the past we've been because they didn't take Wyatt Langford, he now has two top 10 prospects that he got instead in McGonigal and Clark. Two, he has, you know, the Jack Flaherty deal and the way it evolved. Going into midseason trading deadline, he was criticized by not maybe having the savvy of some older GMs and stuff. And then finally, they can't say he's cheap anymore. So I'm, for me, selfishly, I can just think about pure being happy about the Tigers and hearing, you know, just talking baseball without getting into the politics of being a GM. What do you think?
Well, I think here's what's interesting about it, too, is that did the Tigers get worse?
No.
No.
Nope.
They haven't gotten worse. They've gotten better with the additions they've made in the offseason, and this was a team that beat Bregman's Houston Astros. In Houston, by the way, and moved on to the divisional series and was within, you know, a game of getting to the ALCS. And this team is added now by bringing in Gleyber Torres, by bringing in Jack Flaherty, and bringing in Alex Cobb, and bringing in, you know, Kane Lee and some other players. This is a better team they have right now than what they did after the playoffs were done. And if they had Bregman, it'd be even better. But because they didn't add Bregman, it didn't get worse.
The one thing your boy Stan there brought up is think about this.
My boy.
Yeah. Ownership greenlighted a $171.5 million commitment to try and win now. If this team is in a tight race come the trade deadline, they will have the financial commitment and the material in the organization to make a big move. Like, that's been greenlighted. So Scott Harris and ownership is committed to adding a veteran player. Maybe third base isn't a problem. Maybe it is. We don't know how things are going to change, and there's a lot of different directions this can go because they've got a lot of players that provide a lot of flexibility, and A.J. Hinch loves that, and we'll see how it plays itself out when we do get to the trade deadline. But the era of they won't spend money is probably over. They greenlighted a $171 million spend. They greenlighted the $30 million addition to this payroll, almost a $30 million addition to this payroll. They greenlighted that then. If the team goes out and justifies it, there's no reason to think that they won't greenlight it come the trade deadline.
There's that, but there's also, okay, they showed that they were willing to spend that money, but ultimately they didn't spend the money. So do they go out and spend the money now and shift over to Tarek Skubal and get him done?
They could.
I think like that's the next thing that they're going to have to do.
I mean, he's got 2 years left. So it's not as if you can't spend the money on a contract at the trade deadline. I guess it depends which contract you're picking up and then take care of Skubal after this season. I do not want to go into next year with Skubal not having a contract. But 248-539-9797. Kang, I want to get your 2 cents coming up. I also want to hear from the people. There's a lot of texts coming in. When you heard the news, Bregman to Boston, what best describes your feelings in that moment? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, need a Valentine's Day idea? Looking good and feeling good while working out is important as the workout itself. What better way to promote a healthy lifestyle while looking good and showing respect for everyone than with Show Some gear for Valentine's Day? This week only, purchase anything and get a stylish, comfortable sports bra for free. Use the code VALENTINERESPECT at checkout. Show Some athletic apparel, women's line. They have leggings, sports bras, and a limited edition fleece sweater. It's better than any workout gear out there. And because Show Some loves its customers, don't forget to use the code VALENTINERESPECT at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. Number of options on the table here for A.J. Hinch. Scott Harris, Tigers organization, what perhaps they may do now that Alex Bregman's going to Boston. We're asking you what was your feeling when you heard the news? Gator was disappointed. I was relieved. Kang, how did you feel?
My first thought was disappointment. I mean, let's just be honest. Position of need, good player, right-handed stick. He definitely would help you. He's a winner. He's got a good resume. So when I heard that the Tigers didn't get him after all this talk about what the Tigers should offer, what you feel comfortable, in the end, he was going to make your team better for the next couple of years, and that's what I was looking at. But as the dust settles a little bit, I don't want a guy who doesn't want to be here, and that's in all of sports. I think you get into dangerous territory when you start signing guys who only came here for the money or only came here because they had no other option. That plays with the chemistry of the clubhouse, the locker room. It's not a good formula for building a good culture. And if we've learned anything from the Lions, building a good culture is so important for winning, for sustainability. And so if Bregman truly, and I don't know this, but if his heart wasn't in it for Detroit, I don't want him here, And we may take a hit at third base if it's Chase Young or Matt Vierling or whoever, but it might be a better thing long-term. And so with that being said, after everything, like I said, settles, I was disappointed to start, but now that I've thought it through a little bit, we'll be okay, and other guys have to step up, but I don't want a guy who doesn't want to be here.
248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. What best characterizes your feeling when you heard the news that Alex Bregman is going to pass on the Tigers' offer and take the Boston offer? Will writes in, genuinely feel the Tigers dodged a bullet. If you look at the trade market, you can flip some of these exciting prospects for a cheap and controllable third baseman. Please do not go out and trade for Nolan Arenado. Well, I don't think, Will, that we have to worry about that. Arenado has a no-trade clause, and he has said no to some places already that seem like he would probably be more inclined to go to than Detroit. But I'd have to go back and look up exactly what he said. But
it's also February 13th, and he hasn't signed with anybody. He hasn't been traded to anybody.
Traded to anybody, so but
that may change.
Unnamed texter says, meh, disappointed that we didn't get him, but it's reassuring to know Harris and company will at least make a competitive offer. Yeah, nobody's saying that this wasn't competitive. This was, they gave him the longest term. And it probably took that to get Detroit into the mix. Let's be clear. The Boston offer actually would have been great if you could have convinced him to come here on that deal.
A lot of money.
3 years, 120. Yeah, a lot of money, but 3 years. Yes, please. Another one here. I hope the Tigers don't panic and throw the money earmarked for Bregman to an often injured Riley Green. If anything, Bregman's news should expedite an extension for Skubal. Well, here's my question. Do you think that they were taking Skubal money to spend it on Bregman? The money that they had budgeted for Skubal? Or were they thinking, we're going to get Bregman and we still have a budget for Skubal?
I think that... And it's weird because if they'd committed the money, they obviously had committed money for Bregman. I'm not sure what that would have meant for Skubal if Bregman had agreed to the contract with the Tigers. Other than the Tigers would have let the contract play out for 2 years. And then I think at that point, Javi's contract comes off the books or close to it. That then they can engage in talks. But that may have priced them out of Skubal.
I would hope that they were still planning on signing Skubal. Even when they were bidding on Bregman.
I would hope so, but I'm not sure.
But once the Javi contract does drop off, and if you just say that money's going directly to Skubal, because you're getting
part of it.
You're basically getting nothing out of Javi to begin with. 248-539-9797. What best characterizes your feelings when you got the news that Alex Bregman was not signing with Detroit? I am neutral on not getting Bregman. I say let Jace have a chance at third. That's from Jeff in a truck. Well, there's a lot that they can do at third, and we'll get to that coming up today at 10:48. Unnamed texter. Well, screw this guy was my personal reaction after seeing what Bregman signed for and what the Tigers offered. Does he become like the not public enemy number one necessarily, but like if he steps to the plate at Comerica Park, is it just showered with booze?
Absolutely. He'll get destroyed by the Comerica Park crowd. Yeah.
Screw you, man. If you thought all along he didn't want to come to Detroit, this doesn't do anything to change those feelings. That's for sure.
No, I think Kang will be leading the way.
You want to know what's crazy?
Boo this man.
If Boston's in a tight chase and playing like games they need to win, you know who the Tigers' final series of the year is against?
Is it Boston?
It's Boston.
That's fantastic.
So that could be a little subplot if these are meaningful games. Now, those games are in Boston. But I don't know if they're not meaningful in any way for Detroit. If Detroit's playoff spot is already clinched, if we already know that they've won the division. That's what I'm going to go with for now. But Boston needs to win. And Bregman steps to the plate in a must-have it situation. That's something that could happen. Boston-Detroit wraps up the regular season.
Well, I'm not sure Boston's a playoff team.
I'm not sure
they weren't last year.
I know.
And I mean, obviously they add Bregman, which helps them out, but doesn't make their pitching better.
No, I mean, there's
that division is tough.
How does he adapt to second base? Can he play a reasonable second base? Because one of the things that when we get into what are the options, I am not a fan of putting a Butcher at third because he's got a bat. I'm not a fan of putting a Butcher anywhere in the field in your everyday lineup just to get a bat in the lineup. There are going to be guys that play because they have a bat and that is their skill. But as far as in an everyday lineup sense, I would lean towards whoever is most adept at playing third base over who's got the best bat. And right now, who is that? Is it Vierling? Is it Vierling better than Jace Young, who has a bad reputation as a third baseman, or developing? Maybe he's developing is a kind way
right,
to put
it. Right, he's still young. I mean,
we hope.
Literally young. See what I did there?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Right.
Are you proud?
It just happened, man. Yeah. Sometimes it just flows.
It's natural ability, Doug.
Yeah. Anyway.
God-given quality.
So, here's another one from Rick. My reaction to not getting Bregman. Bregman is dead to me. The Tigers offered him what he wanted, and he spit on it. Well, that's a very negative way to look at it.
He's not dead to me. Like, I don't hate the guy. I think he made a decision that was best for him.
I think he made a smart decision.
But as a fan, I don't, like I said, I go back to, like, if your heart's not in it, I don't think you're going to be productive.
As a fan, F this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's dead to you, Gator.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, yeah. But if I'm taking a step back and being objective about it and saying what would be best for Alex Bregman, I think this is brilliant for Alex Bregman. $40 million a year is what he just got. And ball's in his court. You want to come back and do it again next year? It's up to you. You want to come back and do it again for a third year? That's up to you. And if he puts up the numbers that he's been able to put up at Fenway, then when that contract is done, he's going to have legitimate 3 or 4 year offers for north of $30 million a year. And in the end, think about that. How much money that's going to get him. If you get a 3 year offer for $90 million a year at the end of this contract, you just got your 6 year, $200 million deal that you wanted in the first place.
I am more comfortable in predicting that Alex Bregman will make less than $171.5 million the rest of his career than I am thinking he'll make more than that.
Okay.
I think he plays all 3 years in Boston, and he becomes a free agent again. And, you know, barring him going out and having, you know, getting in the MVP race, and I think he will sign another contract after that. And I'm more comfortable that he will make less than he would have if he'd taken the Detroit money. Now, to be clear, one of the reasons why I won't be super hypercritical of him, because a little bit, I'm like you as a fan, screw this guy, but I do have some respect for when guys, and I don't know if you can say he took less money. He's taking more money short term.
Well, he's betting
he
on himself
long term. Yes,
he's pulling a shirt.
But if you do something for things other than money, it's always somewhat refreshing in sports. But
well, the other thing with to his advantage, it's not just that he gets to play in Fenway, which is right-handed hitter friendly because of the wall that you hit a bunch of doubles off of. He's also playing a bunch of games every year at Baltimore. That's a hitter's friendly park. You're playing at Yankee Stadium, hitter friendly. You're playing at Tampa, you know, kind of hitter friendly. And so does he have a better opportunity, not just at Fenway, but because of the division, to put up better numbers than he would in a Central?
Even though
he's done pretty well in his career in the Central.
Ron in Plainwell writes in, my Bregman analogy, you pursued a woman for 6 months, and yesterday she announced her engagement to someone else. Stop crying. Move on. Tom and McComb says, I had the sense Bregman was buying his time and using Detroit's offer to leverage himself to another team. Not once did I feel like he was going to sign with Detroit. Also not sure his relationship with Hinch, since the Houston fallout. Tom, I think they have a good relationship. At least Hinch,
he's got a relationship Hinch with Boston's manager too.
Yeah, but Hinch implied that. Connor and Romeo says, not mad about Bregman in Boston. Should be focusing on signing Scooble and other young players long term. Trust in the young studs. All right. So what does it mean for the Tigers at third base? As you know, they're what 40 something days here away from actually playing a baseball game. Who will get that start at third base on opening day and beyond? We will get to that coming up today at 10:48 here on Carson Anderson, a 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, warm up your winter with these hot deals from Sarah Chevy in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $349 a month with no money down. This zero down deal can be yours with a GM employee discount and current lease in your household. Don't forget, Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. They guarantee the lowest price or it's free. 17.5 in Van Dyke and Sterling Heights. Stay warm and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH. Go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. If you missed the news, Alex Bregman has selected the Boston Red Sox on a 3-year, $120 million deal. With opt-outs after every year, there's some deferred money included. Detroit's offer was 6 years, $171.5 million. Very competitive. Longer term, not as much money. With one opt-out after 2 years. Chicago offered 4 years, $120 million, with opt-outs after year two and year three, so right in the middle. And we're asking you what best describes your feelings when you heard this news for the first time. A big part of me is relieved, a bigger part than disappointed, although I have to admit it's both, because I'm torn on the Bregman thing. Coming to Detroit meant a long-term offer, and in my mind, you know, there would be regrettable years on the end of that contract. Key question is, how good would his good be, and when would the bad come? 2 years of really good for 4 years of bad. I would love the 2 years, and they'd have a great chance to win the next couple of years with him being really good, but 4 years of paying over $100 million for a declining player would suck. And I'm not ruling out that the decline hasn't already started, but we'll see on that. And in the meantime, not what for Detroit at third base. The top of the organizational food chain is what? Vierling, McKinstry, Ibanez, and Jace Young. These are all the guys that were at the big league level last year that played some third base. Vierling appears to be the leading candidate. He played 51 games at third base last year. He may have to play in the outfield a little bit, so that means they're going to obviously need somebody else. It's not going to be an everyday guy. Feels like it's most likely to be a platoon situation. But what are your thoughts on Vierling as an everyday third baseman?
Well, I don't think he's an everyday third baseman. I think it's always going to be a platoon situation with left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters. The four guys you mentioned, Young and McKinstry, both left-handed, and Vierling and Ibanez are right-handed. So you can split it up however you want. I would imagine that Vierling is probably the guy that gets a bunch of starts, but with more right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching, I mean, that's not – Chase Young is going to have every opportunity to go out there and prove it and go get it. Now, if Chase Young doesn't hit in spring training, then he's out of the mix, right? Because you imagine he would start at AAA and prove yourself there and then maybe get a callback. You would get a callback if you prove yourself, but nothing's handed to anybody at this point. You still have to earn it over the next 5-6 weeks before the season starts. You got to make the opening day roster in order to play on opening day.
I would imagine that Vierling, you know, who really turned himself into a heck of a useful player. When they got him, there was talk that you're really going to like this guy. He helps you win games. And certainly playing all the positions in the outfield and playing adequate third base. But he hit 16 home runs last year. As far as Jace Young's concerned, you know, his defense is the concern there, and he's going to have to show, I would want him to show major improvement before he got a lot of run there. Ibanez is just, he murders left-handed pitching.
He's awesome against left-handed.
It's amazing. His OPS against left-handers is 802. His OPS against right-handers, or I'm sorry, his OPS against lefties is 802. Yeah. His OPS against righties is 407.
It's quite a disparity.
Yes.
Don't play him against right-handed pitching.
And so, you know, he can play that position a little bit. I don't think they're going to go outside the organization, although it's amazing how much Scott Harris talks about trade possibilities. He brings it up so much. Makes me feel like he's always over here poking around, seeing what he can find and that he's got some things on the hopper that he can pull off. But maybe it depends on how spring training goes. Maybe it depends on how spring training goes. And depending on how spring training goes includes, is Kerry Carpenter healthy enough to play right field? Because if he's not, then, and you want to DH him more, then you're putting Vierling out in right a lot more. Mm-hmm. And Vierling we'll be out of the mix at third, but this is what A.J. Hinch loves to do. He loves to move the chess pieces around and put them at different spots.
Well, you like to have versatility. I think ultimately you just like to have great players. But if you don't have that all-star lineup to put out there, then you have to craft it a different way, which is what they did last year, clearly.
There are other guys that could force the issue here a little bit. Does Wencel Perez play so well that they have to find him more at-bats and more innings in the field? Justin Henry Molloy, same thing. You know, is he going to be at first base? Is he going to be at outfield? He's working at first base today. How Yu Lee, kind of a forgotten man, does he force the hand and say, I'm still here and I can place an infield spot, and that could change some things around.
But has he played AAA yet? He got hurt last year. I think it was a AA where he got hurt.
Yes, he got hurt.
He's someone who can ascend quickly if he continues, because he's hit very well in the minor league system.
He's still only 21. Still, only, well, I'm sorry. He played last year at 21. When does he turn 22? Turned 22 10 days ago. All right, so anyway.
Well, how about this? Would they ever consider, let's say he's hit, I mean, I guess if he's hitting, he stays at short, but, you know, Javi Baez, is that an option?
It's a good question.
Probably not, because if he's going to hit, then you play him at short.
AJ Hinch made zero commitment to anything Baez related this morning when he was on the morning show, because he's like, first thing, we just got to see if he's healthy.
Yeah.
We just got to see if he's healthy. If he's healthy, then we start looking at, all right, what potential role can you play? And at this point, like, I know that the common belief amongst people when they hear the name is cut him.
Right.
The problem is they're going to be paying him. And unless he's taking up the roster spot of a player that absolutely can help them, that they're willing to eat almost $100 million or whatever it is he's owed, they're going to try to squeeze anything out of this resource that they're going to be paying anyway. Could they repurpose him as a third baseman? If nothing else is working, that might get a look. Howie Lee did play some third last year at Erie before he got hurt. So, but my guess is that Kerry Carpenter's healthier and will play a lot of right field than Vierling will bounce back and forth. But if I had to guess right now, I'd guess that Vierling becomes the guy that gets the most innings at third.
I think Carpenter's going to get a lot of work at DH, frankly. So it's that extra outfield spot's the interesting one because of Malloy and Perez. I think that Matt Vierling showed that he can play at the major league level. I mean, he was above average. So finding him at bats and finding him a spot, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And because he can split at third in the outfield, go ahead. And he's a good outfielder. I don't mind that. But it's the other guys in competition for the other outfield spot that I'm like, okay. I mean, you've got the DH spot that's there to use, but I think they do plan on using that with a lot with Carpenter. It's the other guys, Malloy and Perez. Where do they go?
All right, here we go. Feedback coming in. I was pissed not getting Bregman. We need a bat. I can't take you seriously running out Javi and Torkelson this season if those guys are in the lineup at the same time at six outs a game. Javi and Torkelson got to prove that they're worthy of being here.
This is a massive spring for Spencer Torkelson. If I had to bet right now, I'd say he's not a Tiger in opening day, that he gets moved.
Who's that?
Torkelson.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Next text. Is Doug psychic? Because apparently was doomed to fail before he even got here. Boston thought he was clearly good enough. All I hear is Doug afraid to make a signing because of fear of failure. The Tigers, as they sit, are not good enough to win a World Series. You're not going to win without better players. I will bet, and I'm betting, nothing in particular, but come trade deadline, I will bet there'll be accessibility to a better player than Alex Bregman and a younger player than Alex Bregman. And you don't have to be locked into any position like you would be with Alex Bregman. You have flexibility of identifying a player of need. That's where I'd rather spend the money, personally. Wow. Now, I brought this up. The whole back and forth with getting Alex Bregman is there was accessibility to him now. As much as there wasn't accessibility to Juan Soto, for instance. This offseason, the Tigers weren't going to get Juan Soto. Who could they get? Well, they could have got this guy. That's what made it attractive. But in a trade scenario, I kind of like having the flexibility of not having spent this money on Alex Bregman. I have concerns about where Bregman is in his career. Am I psychic? No. I'm not, but that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to be worried about it. And I was worried about it beforehand.
But I'll throw a name out there as somebody who could be available at the trade deadline, and that's Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Could be.
Who's young, who's dynamic, and I can't imagine Toronto wants him to hit the free agent market. Toronto would want to re-sign him, but you know, if he's looking elsewhere, they got to get something for before he just leaves for nothing, and that would make do the Tigers have a lot to offer? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying
that trade's going to happen, but that's just one player. That's one example of a player who could be available at the trade deadline. And at that point, it's about what assets do you have instead of who's the highest bidder.
every move comes with the risk of failure. It's up to each individual, and that's why we're asking you, as to what, you know, how much risk are you willing to take, or how much do you think that this has a risk of failure? Everybody has their own tolerances that they, what they'll put up with or what they don't think is worth it. I like the flexibility. I love now that there was a commitment to spend $171.5 million on a player, that has been green-lighted once. I don't know why it wouldn't be green-lighted again for another player. I'm actually glad that Bregman didn't take the Tigers' offer, writes Jim. But I'm also disappointed that the reason he didn't take it was most likely Comerica Park, because that means other potential players probably feel the same way. AC in Monroe says, I am more disappointed in the Cobb signing than I am in losing out on Bregman. I don't believe he had any intention of ever coming here. I think our offer was used as leverage. Quite possibly. 248-539-9797. Hey, we got another edition of Who's on Top coming up today at 12:30. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, top 10 NFL free agent. A list of top 10 NFL free agents and a prediction of where they might end up. One predicted to come to Detroit. We'll tell you who it is today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.